and/or any of the public that might be present.
Mm-hmm. So this is a requirement. We talked about it a little bit today at Campus Connection, and it is available. And I really mean that. If people are out there and they want to look through it and they have some thoughts or feedback on it, you really are welcome to email me, call me, check in. It's a requirement to basically address the main component of Every Student Succeeds Act, which is for Place No Child Left Behind. And the focus of it is really about equitable access to education for all kids. It's really the, in a nutshell, that's what it is. So, and it's, so it's federal mandates and requirements related to our typical programs like Title I reading support, math support, migrant education. It also encompasses any homeless students that we might have, foster care, children who are in foster care, addresses equitable access for students who are second language learners and their families, and it just really codifies actually things that we've already been doing, but it, you know, puts it in a more concise format, I guess, for lack of a better term, and keeps it at the forefront. So, you know, I think the example I gave earlier is that you basically don't want to deny access to a student who comes to us that might be, let's say, in a foster care situation where they might not have all of their birth certificate, all their paperwork, all their stuff, because they're living in a situation that's pretty challenging. And you don't want to, we as a school don't want to deny kids, you know, access to education because of things that are beyond their control. So those are things we've already done. We always make sure kids have food. We make sure kids have access if they need supplies, you know, that kind of thing. So it just puts it all down in writing what we all should be doing, actually. So anyway, the plan is out there. It's on our website if you want to look at it. Anyway, so if people have thoughts about it, it's about 11 pages long, I think, or 13. It's not very long. So if you want to look through it and you have any thoughts or anything from the board, if you've looked at it. Otherwise, I will just update a few things in it and move it forward.
Okay. All right, moving into college classes for high school credits. Mr. Dormer will discuss a new handbook policy that describes the process for authorization for students to take a college class for credit.
Hi, good evening.
Hello.
Thanks for letting me
come in late.
Before you left.
We're up 8-7. Still baseball
I'm
season,
not your
so
baseball.
Yes. It's actually a nice release for the kids.
He's a coach.
Let's ask.
Thanks for letting me come in.
Yeah.
Good.
Do you
want to
kick me off? Are you doing anything?
I can, if that's okay. Do you mind?
Yeah.
Thanks. This is high school. I'm Apple TV.
That sounds cute.
High school handbook, and I'll just go to this one section. I thought it was worth pulling. We thought
six?
It was worth looking for the yellow. Of that yellow.
Oh, there was some.
Oh,
page 6. There we go.
That's a different yellow. The other big yellow. I just blew right by it the first time.
There it is.
Goodness. Fingers are too fast. We started the year, early on in the year, researching. This actually started with the idea of researching. We have a weighted grade scale in the high school, and so students that take any of our advanced placement classes, those classes are graded on a 5.0 scale, which is how you have some, when you hear about our valedictorians, that may have a 4.1 GPA. That's because it's on a 5.0 scale, and we started that 5 years ago, maybe longer, with the intent to encourage students, because it took us a while to get it going, to encourage students to take harder classes and not sacrifice possibly class rank by taking some really hard classes. So the idea came up that we also have a lot of students that take classes, specifically where we're sitting here in the library is typically where they are. We're at the virtual high school, or sometimes they will take classes offered through other universities, most typically University of Alaska Southeast. But we have kids taking college-level classes during high school time, and that's great. It's awesome. They're pushing themselves. So the idea came forward to investigate, should those qualify the same as an advanced placement course for a 5.0 scale? And we had some local parents bring it up, and several kids go through, and it sounded like a great idea. And so Ms. Turner and I kind of spearheaded. We did a lot of work, and we had to ask the administrative assistants to make a lot of calls to some places, and we dug through some handbooks, and we looked in Alaska, and We talked about the policy committee meeting. I remember Swimmer's there, and we talked through it there. With that, just to kind of talk about the idea of it, at the root of it, nobody's doing that. And so we kind of dug, and we said, well, Petersburg's not a kind of place. We just don't do it because no one's doing it. It still sounds like it could be an idea. Why is nobody doing it? So we dug in more. And what it comes down to, the idea for the 5.0 scale, is that it could turn around and actually, I think, hurt the students that we're trying to help, because it's just too open. We have no control over college classes, and so while most of our students take some really high quality college courses, and Ms. Turner was great, but having just come from University of Alaska in Sitka, she had a lot of ideas about, well, it's got to be 100 level, it's got to be part of a graduation track, it's got to be that, you know, she had some really great stipulations, and we kept trying to do it, and at the end of the day, there are so many different university options out there that it really opens the door for a student if they wanted to, or if they were looking for, you know, someone wanted an easy way out, or they didn't like our teachers, or all these things, to take these college classes and get a 5.0 scale, and we just didn't have any control because they're not our classes. Does that kind of make sense? Which is kind of a bummer for the kids that are really taking a high-quality course, and most of the courses that we've seen through UAS have been high-quality, but it just, I said, nobody's doing it. Even Anchorage had a statement said, these are not on a 5.0. Like, oh, they probably had that policy and maybe it didn't work for them and they had to go back. So we gave it a good look. But at the end of the day, we realized that we do have these students, and we're so small, we flex with this and have for years, but we really should. And we found a lot of schools have really great policies on when a student says, you know, hey, I want to take advanced placement psychology. I think we had a student this last year take it, which we don't offer. We do want to make sure they are taking a quality course and that it fits and that we can adopt it and give them the credit that leads to graduation, you know, so it's all part of it, as well as kind of be part of partners with them, you know, that in their education, that they're picking good courses that lead to hopefully their career path. So we have the policy here. I don't need to read every word, but the idea is that they have to they say, hey, we want to take AP psychology, and they go to the counselor and they get approval, and we get information from the syllabus, and there's rules in there that says that they can't say, well, I don't like Mr. Troutman's psychology class, so I'm taking my own, you know, those type of things, where we don't allow that because we have fantastic staff and we believe the education they give is going to be better than what they get someplace else. So we have those type of rules, and we kind of set it up so there's a real process for kids that do take college courses to receive high school credit, which is a great thing when that works out for kids' education and their plan.
Are most of our classroom credits counted as a 0.5? Like if I were to take a chemistry.
Right.
Does chemistry count for on my credits transcripts for graduating? Is it 0.5? Or is it more than 0.5?
The college classes vary. Actually, I think most of them, they'll take a full year if they can. And a lot of them are through VHS, but sometimes they're not. But if you take a full year, they'll get a 1.0 credit. But they have to be broken into semesters, like our, you know, that's when our grades go in. So they have to.
Oh, I just mean, what is this translating into? Is it translating basically into, I took a college course that was the 3 credits, and
got
I'm getting 0.5 high school credits. Would that replace basically a semester class here?
Would replace a semester class here.
I would normally get 0.5.
Yeah, almost always it works out that way. Not always, and you get some weird ones. And there's actually a conversion table that we got from, I think, Kenai that we're looking at. We haven't decided. We may just keep that in a folder to kind of give us a reference as opposed to being that, because look, colleges are all different. But. Mm-hmm. Yeah, other questions?
Is part of the rule that they have to be enrolled in school full-time here? And take the class outside, or could someone hypothetically be taking all online UAS classes but be graduating from
good question.
Just trying to throw some curveballs.
Yeah, right.
You know, not actually be going to school, or even be going to school like just one or two classes and be filling in everything else with a college class?
Yeah,
with the
right.
University of Phoenix, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And I think that's what we were talking about, is we wanted to make sure they have to have prior, whatever the class is. You can't just come in and say, I'm taking...
No, but right. hypothetically, yeah. could I come into your office, or yeah. is that going to be...
Or do you limit the number that a student can do per semester, then? How many college credit per college?
They'd have to, because we put in there, outside courses may not be taken to replace a course currently taught by PHS staff, unless a bona fide conflict exists. And every now and then we've had a couple mm-hmm. like, boy, but I really need that, you know, whatever, Spanish, that was, you know, mm-hmm. class, but I've got to take AP.
Very often,
yeah. yeah. So no, so to be on a graduation track, like freshmen only have a couple electives, sophomore a couple, you know, maybe three. So there isn't a lot of room for that. So they can't say, well, I'm not going to take your history class, but I'm going to take, again, AP Psych or, you know, sign language or something like that. They have to stay on the graduation track. Our policy says that. So there's not a lot of room for it. It usually ends up being a class here or there for most students.
And they have to pay for it. So most yeah. people wouldn't. It's not an option. It doesn't yeah. happen. It happens very infrequently because we have great classes with great teachers that are, yeah. you know, here. So... It's not really very common.
You note there, it does not include like the CTE. We have a lot of these dual credit, mm-hmm. like our CNA kids got 9 credits for completing that, which is a fantastic experience. That doesn't really fall in that. That's our courses, you know, that we set up, and they are allowed to get yeah. dual credit. So dual credit's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's bigger in like Sitka or, you know, places where they have a university in, you know, in the community or nearby, but we still have it.
And so all of the credits that are, it just counts as an elective.
No? Not always. It could count under an area. I'm trying to think, like, trying to get a good example of that. There certainly could be a science. They could fall in there. Foreign language doesn't fulfill a language. They already have to have 4 years of a language. So science may be the easiest. Math could happen.
Sure. Are you required?
Because we can only require...
Graduate?
Yeah.
But you could take a third one?
Yeah.
Because it conflicts with something else you have to take?
But yeah. Isn't that essentially... then count as an elective anyway if you already
yeah if you already have your yeah, that's requirement true. That's true. So yeah, I guess most of the time it would. I'm trying to think when it would, unless again there's that bona fide, you know, I really need history but I've got this other class so I'm going to take history online.
But yeah, typically people will take them through our options, like
yeah,
VHS,
because
we
yeah.
have some
yeah.
you know, good quality options that are here that we work with, you know, that they have to go register and pay for college.
That's nice, because we know we can't have every little class for every kid, depending on their future. We certainly don't want to cut things out. This just puts a little more framework around it and really allows us to kind of go through the process. Like I said, we're so small, we've done such a good job over the years of talking with kids, talking with parents, making sure we don't have a lot of kids taking ridiculous. Hasn't really been, but it's good to have a process.
Question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And no more questions? Well, let's move right into the handbook student review then.
Yeah, so stay up here if you don't mind with the high school handbook. Let me see. Not very many changes this year. Cut a little bit of wordage out of. We've changed our letters. We used to just send truancy letters. You probably heard that all three schools are sending just regular attendance letters. Even if they're missing a lot of schools for excused absences, we're sending letters just to remind them that kids do better. And it's before the truancy letters roll over punitive, you'll notice some of the wording here said that we would notify Office of Children's Services if they're missing these type of days. These were unexcused absences, which is a little bit of a different category. So we changed the wording there. We talked about the college courses for credit. We put a small, where's it coming up here? Put a small bit of wording here just to give us a little bit as we talk graduation, just recognizing that the student attire must comply during the graduation ceremony. This was working with a couple of our senior advisors. Kids were great this year. Didn't see anything. Hats sometimes I've heard in other schools have been an issue where they were not here. And I can't remember in recent time we've had an issue with hats. We get a lot of threats about the limited clothing under the robes, but our kids have been great. And again, this year seniors were outstanding. There's nothing there. But this was put in there just to give us just a... If anyway, it's a nice wording to talk about ahead of time, and then it also gives those senior advisors a little bit of teeth to remind them, hey, this is a policy, you really need to take this, because it's not just about you, but it's about the community and your family and the staff and everybody. So this is in both the high school and the middle school, the student information release, and this is... Superintendent can probably explain it more. She sent it to us, just more of the requirements that we are this disclaimer about what we do with student information. It's good to see. We had a little, maybe two sentences in there before. It just wasn't enough. So it's been upgraded.
Yeah, it came out of the monitoring that we had last fall. It's a requirement under ESSA to just be more specific about directory information and what can be released and not released as like to military recruiters, and then also to institutions of higher learning.
And that exact same wording's in the middle school handbook. That's, I think, the only thing we added to the middle school handbook, I believe.
And basically it's saying, like, on the military recruiters, that if you, it's allowed unless a parent opts their child out, and they submit that to the district in writing, and they have the right to do that.
Well, and not only allowed, but it sounds like the federal government is saying that it's required. That we're required to hand over that information unless a parent opts
out. Yes.
So
it's
not that it's the schools choosing to send your information to a college or to military recruiters. The school is not doing that as their intention, but if those agencies request information, they must comply by the law and send that information out unless you have opted out your student for that.
And that's the same on the directory information below that about what can be released to colleges, a certain amount of information that can, that is, if it's requested, that we have to provide unless it's, again, if parents have opted out in writing on both of those.
And I would assume some of that might be like transcript requests and the secondary one?
Those are actually very protected. Like, no, it's, but what we can give is name, address, telephone number of secondary school students. That's basically it. Yeah.
And recognize this is 7 through 12, so it's in the middle school handbook, but it doesn't start till 7th grade.
I know, but they may just put it in.
And those are the handbook updates. Like I said, the middle school, this is the only thing added to the middle school handbook.
At first, Ed.
So are these new policies? Do we have to release information to the military? Or
this is just more, like I said, there was maybe a sentence or two. We know they did when
it's
I was in high school. Yeah.
It's
just
always been
getting better information in there than the sentences we had.
And actually, I don't believe there was ever an option to
opt out.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think it said that in the handbook. I think it just had a line that said.
But that's special law. All of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's in the handbook now.
There it is.
Any questions?
I do have a question. It's not regarding this. Yeah. It's just, are we doing the online classes for foreign language again this year?
We will have an option because not everybody can fit in their schedule. Mr. Petruski is offering. Oh, look, I can flip over a slide right there. I know there's a lot going here, but if we find M. Petruski here on the side, we offer Spanish 1. He does 6th period, and he will teach Spanish 2 7th period. So we have this option. Again, just the limit is it doesn't fit in everyone's schedule.
But if it's important to you to have...
And we have a lot of kids in them, so kids are scheduled in. We have a few kids that I think are looking at, and we'll continue to offer sign language. Went very well through VHS. We have a few kids that took French, and that went fine. We're going to talk about that. We would like to have an online Spanish. There's a couple kids that want to take it. It doesn't fit. Can't say that we're going to use the same system we used last year. Wouldn't say I haven't 100% made that commitment. I'd like to talk to the superintendent more and Mr. Painter and stuff, but I think we'll use a different system. But we'd like to offer an online Spanish just in case for kids who can't, system. But
people need options.
Yeah.
I've heard there's a lot of conflicts this year with...
With kids trying to fit everything in? Is that what you mean?
Did you mean that conflict, sir?
With the... With the quality of the class and the quality of the...
And the communication, I think we were adjusting, and then he came with this meeting, and then we talked, and then we adjusted, and then the communication and how things were graded was foggy, and I think that led to a lot of Ms. Turner confusion. And Ms. Turner is actually still working with a few kids that are working with their online classes. And I can say, personally, my desk, I spent the most time this year with that one class. Of any other teacher or class in particular, I spent the most time dealing with Spanish. This isn't always a bad thing, but for this year it was. It's too bad.
He's not doing any gym.
Is the French, Is French, was French taught through the same?
It was not. No, it was a similar platform they used. That was Edgenuity, I believe. It was a similar, you know, mm-hmm. kind of parent program, but it was a different company. It was some. It was Sterling Academy.
And that worked better.
And that was fine. Yeah, it wasn't. I don't think it was amazing. Again, that we wish there was. It was more online content and less speaking out loud, which makes sense for an online. But the kids had an okay experience. We had 5 or 6 kids do French.
Sorry to get you off the subject.
No, that's a great topic. It's something we worked on and we adjusted again. So. Thank excited you. To have Mr. Petruski offering it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a speech and debate class.
Yeah, we did.
Teaching. Mr. Engels teaching.
Did?
Did we have speech and debate this year?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, we did this year, yeah, for the
yeah,
first
really?
Year. Yeah, 7th grade this year. Mrs. Lenhardt has brought it on.
She was excited she brought it in.
Yeah, it's fun class. They debate some fun things. It's fun to listen to them. Yeah, Mrs. Evans and Mr. Engler are going to be doing some work with the 6th grade PE, which is awesome because they're both very experienced educators and they're both... You know, Ms. Evans teaches PE all the time and does such a fantastic job, and Mr. Engel's been coaching and doing all this, so it'll be great. Isn't that fun? Yeah, it worked out for the schedule, and they were both willing to do it, so.
Wow.
Yeah, and schedules are...
This is helpful because there's periodically, I mean, is this online at some point?
I can send it to you.
No, this is, that's what I mean. When,
there's a cleaner
the
one that we give to kids. We have a paper one.
Taught, and it's like...
I don't know. Yeah. Do they teach
why
that?
Would find out?
Yeah. Oh, I can, we can send it to you.
Especially
yeah.
when you don't have a kid in the school. I just not website? Dialed into all the classes that are offered.
That doesn't usually go out because it's too. There's a simpler one that just cuts out and like just for the high school. It doesn't have the middle school and it doesn't have the plans. It just kind of shows when the teachers are in the high school. And we always keep a paper copy in the high school office so kids will come back and grab them throughout there. We probably could
I just
online.
Think I even have, just yeah. a list of classes that are offered.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
You know, that's all really.
That
that's
offered.
Really what the.
I think.
Okay, because that's really what the community wants to
yeah,
know or people want to know is just what do you offer?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't
yeah.
really matter who's teaching it necessarily.
Have a course list on the counselor page.
It's on the counseling page.
Okay,
it says a little blurb
okay,
and stuff
okay,
like that. Yeah.
Blurb. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Kind of looks like those little college
okay.
programs.
But I know what you mean.
Shows the prerequisites
yeah.
and all that stuff.
Okay.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So we're pretty scheduled. There was a few, you know, a few things as we adjusted numbers and we combined classes and you shuffle numbers. But she's been putting in the system. And then I believe early to mid-August, students will be able to see them on PowerSchool. And, you know, and then they have 2 weeks in the high school, 2 weeks to change classes with add drop slips if they don't like the way the schedule looked. But for the most part, most students got the schedules they asked for, which is an achievement. So a lot of teachers work with us. Ms. Turner worked really hard. So that's congratulations to her because it's a tight schedule to offer as much as we do. Mm-hmm. Cool what stuff up there.
What does lifelong fitness fit into? A PE?
Yeah, it's a PE mm-hmm. credit. Miss Evans teaches that. A lot of different stations. Sometimes they'll go out snowshoeing and do some fun stuff. Every now and then they'll get the dancing PE in there and all kinds of different things. Teach it. And then adds in some components about just having a healthy lifestyle, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Personal hygiene. That's part of it.
Middle school.
Yeah. That's just middle school. They do lots of talking about hygiene.
We could do it in still.
We
not
could do
enough.
It every day.
If we could just do it even with my child, that would be helpful. So if they were middle school kids.
Oh, middle school.
All right. Are you also doing coaches, okay. or is that Mr. Cabral?
Mr. Cabral is up, so I will get off
there wasn't
the
much in page 14. You just had the. It's just the highlighted.
Oh, grade check. Is that a word? Is
no,
grade
this
check
was under in middle school?
Oh, you did have a note
handbook.
On your Mitkoff middle school handbook. You have a question
page
mark about showing
under dress and grooming
code.
For school.
I want to look at it. You have a question mark that was clearly maybe you guys were looking at it. Something highlighted.
We're gonna
page 14, bottom of 14.
Probably about bra straps.
Oh, that already got changed. Did I go through the one that went to the board? Sorry.
That's all right. I just
said it makes you.
It's removed or not
adjust?
Yeah, instead of just underwear, it says underwear / undergarments. Sorry, I didn't read
okay.
that. It was just kind of a wording issue. That's really
okay.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, minimal in the activities handbook. I just updated the programs that we offer at Petersburg School District. This is just what we offer at both the high school, majority just the high school. Middle school is there 6 different athletic activities in the other academic activities that we have, but we included esports because it is now an adopted ASAA activity. It is sanctioned by the state, so their fall season starts September 30th.
Defending champs,
here we go. Yep, and then not many people know about it, but we do have a theater play group program here that does a nice job with their with their play. So feeding into the Midcoff Mummers. Hopefully we can get some recruits there. The pipeline. But just updated a couple things within our 47-page activity handbook, because it is quite fun to read if you ever want to read it. So I'm just going to go down here. So going to group housing and school church recreation facilities. So this one, we had some events this past year in which I'm going to give you a scenario that we can kind of figure it out. So say our volleyball team was on a trip to Juneau and we requested to house out with Thunder Mountain High School. If Thunder Mountain is unable to house all of our kids out, say we had like 40 kids going up on this trip and there was a huge tournament up there and they could only house a certain amount of people and we were forced to group house because they didn't have enough families to take our kids. And if they only had half of them housed out, we are going to decide as a activities program that if we are forced to group house, the entire group is going to group house. We're not going to split our group up in half. So 10 would go and house out with the families, and 30 are stuck sleeping on a floor in a church at the school, and 10 other people get to sleep in a bed. So we are going to eliminate that by just saying if we are forced to group house, we're going to group house. So a couple scenarios happened this year to where we had that pop up, and the only reason we would put a possible in there is if they're prearranged, you know, maybe made with an immediate family member, not housing out with their friend that they knew 10 years ago. In that sort of scenario. So just putting that in there so we don't have the coach stuck kind of in a hard place too, or the advisor. Well, I've set this up with my best friend. You only have one person housing out, and then all 39 are group housing with everyone else. So just to make it a little bit more fair, a little bit easier for the coaches and advisors. We never had this kind of put in there, but majority of our groups group house anyway, and they like it better. So just kind of clarifying that piece.
That's what I was going to ask, what the preference seems
to trend. The trend is our school, we are group housing a lot more. The one benefit is, that we noticed from a long time ago, is that it's saving us money. So the coaches have really adjusted. I never like to house out. I always group house just to save us money, and the kids are together, and I kind of know where my kids are 24/7. Because when they house out, even though it's been a long history of Region 5 housing out with families and making connections, they still make connections with kids. The trend is to group house more. It saves a ton of money on hotels that they're not at half the time. And they know where their kids are 24/7. And sometimes we kind of put it in, well, the $400 we're saving on a hotel room, that's 3-4 extra kids we can bring on a trip instead of leaving them home. Mm-hmm. So that's been the mentality of all of our coaches who've, you know, coached for 20 years. They've made the change and invested some really nice blow-up mattresses. So there's some good ones, let me tell you. Yeah, we try them all. So that's just clarifying that piece that we put into our handbook on that one. So, and it is getting harder and harder across Southeast to house out in situations. So some of the big events like basketball regionals where there's 650 students showing up to one community, they cannot house all of them out. And the numbers in the schools are dropping in some places, so they can't really house out and hold those big communities. So, go back in.
I just saw something that really doesn't have anything to do probably with anything.
No, that's okay. That's fun.
If the host school requires you to be group housed, they'll pay for a meal?
Yes. So if we require a school to group house, so now we'll flip the scenario. Thunder Mountain Volleyball comes here. We can't house them all out. We force them to group house and stay in the building. We are to provide that team with one meal per day. Because usually when they house out, usually they get a meal somewhere. It's a region rule. So if we ever get group housed, they take care of a meal a day for us.
And now that will be so much easier with our new
Viking
cafe.
Gosh, so excited. Yes, mm-hmm. So excited. With two-way basketball, specifically just the two-way schools, majority of all of us group house, none of us really house out. So we decided as the five schools in two-way basketball, we do two meals a day. For the teams, just because they're in the building a lot. And we're not looking for gourmet stuff, but sometimes our parents go all out. Mm-hmm. You know, baby back ribs and chicken and baked beans. And that was good.
Does the school district provide them food, or is it more the parents of the
team? Kind of sometimes off and on, depending on how many bodies are there. It's about half and half, sometimes the teams and sometimes the school.
Probably depends on the team.
Yeah, it depends on the team a lot.
Involved in
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, sometimes you. Yeah, and so what Carla and I have done too with certain schools. They can eat through our facility because they're on the same payment plan through the USDA grant. And so it works out great. So she can provide breakfast for them. They can come through the breakfast line because they're on the same exact system. So it's really good. She's done a lot of research, and we know which schools come in. So they just write their names down, and then she claims them. So it works out great.
Smart.
Yeah.
Really That's smart. Why her program makes money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's good food, too. So, and then the last thing was just updating all of our stuff at the bottom of it in the appendices. Not much change to the homeschool alternative education program piece. But just updating this stuff in the bottom, kind of what the school will pay for, what the budget is for each activity throughout the whole thing. So just updating some of the activity fees, just making sure that they knew where the 60 and the 30 and the 150 for each activity fee. We are keeping activity fees flat. This coming year, we're not going to raise them. And so it worked out just fine this past year. So that's about it. Questions? Okay, cool. Thank you.
Stedman, are you doing that?
Yep.
Escaping. Fall back into your role, Fire.
Not a lot of changes here either. Work of the year and all that, but basically, Heather, Miss Heather Kahn, wrote a lovely new message at the beginning. We also updated some language related to how we're going to communicate about absences. It's always a very different kind of ball of wax in the elementary school. There's always more communication. There's very few unexcused absences. So really what it comes down to is when chronic absenteeism is an impact on their academic or on their social-emotional life, because that often can be, that can be an issue with kids. If they kind of
that age
become
usually parental.
A progressive, you know, then you want to get together and figure out, you know, is everything okay? Are there other problems maybe outside of even just, you know? So we reworded some things there. Updated the dismissal times for kindergarten. That has changed this year. I think we've discussed that. But the dismissal time the first week of school will be 11:15, and then we are going to go till 1:30 during the second week of school.
Not the whole year. Four.
Mm-hmm.
Whole week.
So then, question about busing then. Are they going to run out of bus at 1:30 and then be back by the 1:45 let out?
On Friday?
On any day.
Well, they don't come back at 1:45 on the other days.
Yeah.
They come at 2:40.
And the kindergartners didn't have a bus on Fridays anyway, did they?
They didn't, right.
Yeah. Oh. Got it.
Yeah. And actually, we may be able to work something out on the Friday bus because they're going to get out at 1:30, and on the 1:45, we've talked a little bit with Kurt and Hoopy about that. Like, maybe we can coordinate and the kids could stay till 1:30. You know, we've talked about it. We don't have a total plan, but they're, willing to maybe. So that could be a benefit to it as well for kindergarten kids.
Couldn't you have just like a poopy recess time?
Bus, that's what I was going to say, bus kids.
Get an extra recess.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
Until they run around with poopy.
like what Brittany was doing after school.
Yeah.
Kindergarten, you have an extra recess.
Mm-hmm.
They probably could use it before they get on the bus, too.
It would probably not be a bad thing at all. So.
Brittany would sit still for the next half hour. Mm-hmm.
And that might actually be about it. Updated lunch and recess schedule, that's in there, which needs to adjust the font or the formatting. And
No fourth, fifth grade split. There you have their separate times.
Yeah. And then remove the language that Rick was referring to at the end about truancy.
Kindergartners are already
sorry,
going
I went all the way down into the next one.
Sounds like it looks like
there can be truancy all the way through K-12.
Yeah.
So the kindergartners aren't getting a recess before their lunch like the other kids?
They do.
On the schedule it says they get a recess at 1:10 to 1:30.
It just seems like a long time for a kindergartner to have to sit back.
Where is it?
The page is up to 18.
13.
13. Good Lord. I didn't catch that.
Yeah. I don't know. My phone is strange,
how they've got it
so it's possible that.
Yeah, 55 to 11:20.
could depend on when their PE is as well. Oh, yeah. They may have, there may be some other things that,
okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
In fact, I think that is it.
That
I
probably
remember
is.
That oh, from the conversation. It seems like there was a, that it was broken up in a good way.
The end of the
there was
an
activity, there was a
well, they've been doing that this year.
Yeah.
Carrie and Aaron have been taking them out at the end of the day and kind of dismissing them from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, from the play yard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it has to do with
that would make sense.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure they're running around.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to stay. And I think that's it. And that's it.
Oh, no, fourth and fifth grade will still overlap just by about 5 minutes alone. That's going to be a full class.
But we're going to have so much room. We're going to have a huge...
They're spacious. All right, sale and disposal of books, equipment, and supplies, according to Board Policy 3270. I move that we approve the sale and disposal of the items listed. That was several library options that were either unusable, obsolete, or no longer needed by the district. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Sarah Holmgren. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the sale and disposal list of the items, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
Where can the community see the list of things that will be sold?
It's attached. You mean for the library?
No, for the community members who want to see what's for sale.
It's just all library.
Well, I think, didn't we do that last month?
Yeah, you guys talked about doing it last month.
Oh, you mean when?
Oh, like for furniture or whatever?
Where can they find a list of what's for sale?
Well, I guess what I was saying is I think we put that list on last month's agenda. We haven't done the sale yet. When we do, we'll put them all on, like, buy-sell trade and classifieds and all that. That's what we did last year. We just, like, we laid it all out. Dan's not here now. And we literally took pictures and put little descriptions and things under them. And then people came up and either bid.
The library one, they have to come up with every time, every single book. Because of our board policy?
Well,
it seems like that's something that
we actually did modify that last year, and Carissa brought this over this year. We did, we are no longer requiring this level of detail for them because it's part of their meeting process.
Okay.
But she had brought it, so we just,
included.
But we did talk with them about that last year. That, So, yep.
And there's some good books on this list, some classics. You are looking to
run out.
And you know, typically, Jay, we'll do that sale the first week right after school's out. You know, like right under here is what we've done the last couple of years, and it's worked pretty well. We held off just because of all the renovation and construction, and the food service, which has been outside under the entrance at the high school. So we'll. My guess is that may not happen until.
It could be August.
Yeah, because there may be some other items that come out even from the sale. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay. Any additional comments from board members? I have a comment. Sarah Holmgren and Mara Lutomsky's positions are up for re-election this year in October. So.
Treat us right.
Yeah. Anybody who wants to serve on the board again, as I said 2 years ago, feel free to step forward.
Yep. So anyway, there will be 2 3-term seats.
I think 10 years is long enough.
Mm-hmm. Not when you have kids. Still on the board. So just heads up.
Is that date? It always seems like it comes at a strange time,
really
too. Like August.
It's been three.
Something.
August 20th,
sorry,
you have to
it's a
sign up if you want to run and be put on the ballot. So August 20th.
Okay.
So, upcoming meetings. We do not have a school board meeting in the month of July. So, the next time we will need to get together, or what you guys may want to know, we'll be setting the agenda. Which does not concern you two, three, four people. Campus Connection will be on August 13th, and then the regular school board meeting will be on August 13th at 6 p.m. Any future agenda items to be added?
Do you want to bring back up. You had Timmy, I had a note about Timmy Tolis, if we wanted to talk about that at all.
I guess they will know whether we have money or not by August.
Yeah, I don't know that we should be investing in board training. If,
yeah.
If we're cutting other things.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So, she will have to go on hold. Sorry, Timmy Tolis.
Mm-hmm.
She offers really great education and services for our district. And it would be disappointing that we can't spend money on that. Kind of seems like the scenario that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Any other new business? If not, I move that we adjourn. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? We are adjourned.